This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
For now, let's get a view of the world, which is a four-day work week, a concept that is already being piloted and pioneered in the United Kingdom. And we're told that other countries as well are looking to implement it. They are Iceland, Spain, New Zealand, Japan. What about South Africa? We could do with a four-day work week. And the emphasis is on productivity versus quantity of hours worked. Just work smart and then you can have a four-day work week. We're joined by Andrew Barnes, who's the founder of A Four-Day Week Global. Andrew, what is the principle behind the four-day work week? Is it productivity, quality over quantity, and is it working?
Well, good morning. Yes, the concept we use is the thing called the 180-100 rule. So that's 100% of five-day pay, 80% of five-day time, provided we get 100% productivity. So it's very much, as you said, it's about working smarter, not working longer. It's not talking about hours, it's talking about output. And the short answer is, yes, it's working. It's working all over the world, in industry after industry, as you give the power to the employee to think about, how would I do things differently? How would I do things better?
Yeah. So the thing about output, unless you're working on a factory floor where they can count how many nuts and bolts you manufactured or how many cars you assembled, it's a very difficult concept to measure. So how do you measure output in a services type environment, in a media environment where I work, in many spaces, in an investment banking environment? How do you measure that somebody who was here for 4 days did the maximum value of work?
Well, it's an interesting point. How do you measure it over 5 days? So that's the point. The reality is we're not measuring it. We are just literally sitting there saying, well, it's a 40-hour week, and we pay people for that. We have a vague idea what it is they produce. So part of this process is for us to say to the workforce, how should we measure you? How do we know that we're getting the output that you should be doing in 5 days? How do we know we're getting it in four? So that's part of the process. But equally, part of the process is to understand what you should stop doing. Because a lot of the global evidence is that people are only productive for about 3 hours a day. Mm. And the rest of it is being busy. It's going into meetings. It's doing things that actually isn't generating anything. And so if you can eliminate that, it's actually quite easy to increase the productivity.
Yeah. Okay, so this is the thing. I must say, I've worked in different environments, but I must say that I love the media most for its flexibility, for its sense of crafting beautiful moments. And there's nothing that for me is a bane, like meetings and long meetings. And corporates thrive on those meetings, and they feel like it's in those meetings where the best ideas are shared. Is that necessarily true?
Well, not necessarily. But remember, if you are only productive for 3 hours a day, you've still got 5 hours in which you can have a few meetings. Yeah. So what we try and do is say eliminate some of it. And the great example here is Microsoft in Japan that did this rule that said no more than five people in a meeting, no meeting longer than half an hour.
Yes.
Use Microsoft Teams if you can, and got a 39.9% improvement in productivity just by meeting less.
Yes.
And that's where this comes. You know, what happens if I'm in an open plan office? I get interrupted once every 11 minutes and it takes me 22 minutes to get back to full productivity. Have a quiet hour. It's the equivalent of 3 hours of work.
Wow. People get interrupted every 11 minutes in an open plan office.
Statistically, that's what they say. And also people today look at their mobile phones once every 6 minutes.
I'm guilty. Guilty as charged. So this four-day work week that's sort of been piloted comes off the back of a pandemic, and a pandemic that for a better part of it forced people to work from home and social distance. And what we've been told is, whilst it's the home environment and you'd think it's distracting, It turns out people became much more productive and worked longer hours and harder from home. What are the lessons, what are the learnings from this entire pandemic?
Well, I think, you know, obviously we were pioneering the four-day week before the pandemic came along. But what the pandemic did is it supercharged it, because it effectively said, one, you can work productively without being measured by coming into the office. And also, because people were working from home, bosses suddenly realized, A, they could trust their employees, but also realized they had to find different methods of measuring what output was. So that took away two of the big barriers to rethinking the four-day week. The other thing, of course, that was relevant is that we now have a different problem. People are actually working longer, and therefore issues around burnout are getting worse. To put it this way, you're not working from home, you're sleeping in the office.
Yeah, yeah, because they feel that because you're at home, you should have everything you want and they can bother you for as long as they want because you're in a soft, comfortable space.
Yeah, and that laptop is there sitting on the table and it's 10 o'clock at night. You think, let me just do a few more emails. So part of what we're trying to do here is to put some boundaries around what is work and what is, you know, your personal time. Yeah. Because the reality is this is an environment where we're burning people out. One in four, one in five of the workforce will have a stress or mental health issue. We're losing large amounts of days, sick days off, because people are overworking. And also we're losing the family cohesion that we used to have and bringing our kids up in care if both parents are always working. So what we want to try and do is rebalance so that the benefits of the higher productivity that we're getting now in the 21st century, we're sharing that a little bit so that people are getting the benefit of more time off, which gives us a healthier, more cohesive society.
Okay, I understand that. And I think with mental health issues, this has become very, very, very important and topical. So here's the dilemma, Andrew. Many companies, because they own the real estate, you know, where the office used to be, has become part of a property portfolio for many companies. And they need to justify owning these assets. So they are pushing for people to come back to work so that they can justify why they have a building standing and they're paying for lights and utilities and the like. And there's a lot of resistance to this idea of people coming back to work. And so what they're talking about is a compromise where, okay, you come back to the office maybe 3 days a week and the other 2 days you work from home and you keep on rotating in that way. Is that another form of a four-day working week? Well, that's another issue altogether.
Well, that's another issue altogether, because all you're doing is working from home two, working in the office three. And I understand this problem. What we're talking about actually is if you use a four-day week and you want to bring people back into the office, it's actually quite a good tool to do it, because you can say, look, we're giving you more time off. The quid pro quo of that is we want to have you in the office or in the factory when you're actually working, or we'll do a little bit of another hybrid, a day at home, 3 days in the office, and then the 2 days in the office and the other days are at home. So there's lots of different angles about this. There isn't one model that fits all. And indeed, in our company, you know, some people take a day off, some people take two half days, and some people, especially working parents, will work 5 days a week but compressed hours. And that means that they can take the kids to school and pick them up after school. So we're giving people the time off that's important to them. That's what makes this work.
Could we get an update on the countries that are trialing this four-day work week globally? Where is it working well and why is it working?
Well, let's see now. Japan, India, Lithuania, Romania, Portugal, Belgium, Ireland, Spain, the UK, Iceland, there's obviously the legislation going through, or hopefully going through, in America. Experienced companies all over the world in country after country are trying it. The results of our trials are not yet out, but preliminary results are indicating that productivity goes up, people can do their jobs better working 4 days rather than five. Stress levels drop.
Yeah.
Substantially easier to recruit people, especially millennials, in an era when there is a very competitive labor market. So we're not seeing this actually failing anywhere, albeit what is working in one company may be slightly different in another, but it works across industries, across countries, right, and across sectors.
How has digitalization helped the case for a four-day working week? The fact that people are mobile and they can, you know, they have their laptops on them and they can be working from a restaurant, looking at the sea, but still contributing well to company meetings, input and strategy.
Well, yes, that's true. That's probably more irrelevant for work wherever you want to work from home. Remember, the four-day week also works in manufacturing when you can't do that. Volkswagen, for example, in Germany, manufacture cars on a four-day week. Panasonic in Japan are doing manufacturing electronics. And then the biggest exponent of the four-day week in Spain runs restaurants on a four-day week. There is even a fish and chip shop in England that's in our pilot at the moment that's trialing a four-day week for its staff.
And how do customers feel about the fifth day of no fish and chips?
Well, no. This is the point. The business stays open. It's the staff get a four-day week. Some professional services firms sometimes will close for a day. But my own business in New Zealand, we've been doing a four-day week for 4 years now. We have 17 retail outlets across the country. We can't close. So our business remains open as normal, but our staff work a four-day rotation.
So this is really about talent management and human capital, just taking away a bit of pressure from people, allowing them to be human, interact with their families, get back into the community, be refreshed, to come back to work, to give it the maximum, and then they can take a breather.
Yeah, let's go right out on a limb here. Who'd have thought that having a healthier, happier, more engaged workforce would actually give you more productivity?
Yeah. And where is it not working well, Andrew Barnes?
Well, that's a tough one, right? Because in all of the companies, we've engaged with probably over 10,500 companies worldwide over the last few years. On this, we are really only aware of one occasion when it didn't get traction in those companies. And that was fundamentally because the management talked themselves out of even trialing it. What we'd say to companies is just try it. Join a pilot program. We're running pilot programs, you know, right across the world now through our not-for-profit. And the idea is that you can experiment with it and see what works and what doesn't work. And if you do it in a staged way, if you engage with your staff, if you empower them to find out and deal with the things that stop them being productive, then it usually succeeds. And it succeeds well, with companies seeing improvements in productivity up to 50%. Mm.
So for companies that are considering it, what do they need to change by way of policy, HR policy, and not just the schedules, but actually the terms of engagement for workers?
Well, funnily enough, we have probably in common with South Africa, we have in New Zealand, we have highly prescriptive employment laws. And so in the end, I couldn't fit this into the law. So what I did is I left the contracts exactly unchanged. And I ran a policy where I said to my staff, you opt into this productivity policy, I will gift you an additional 40 days off a year if you in return acknowledge that you need to give me the productivity. And what that basically means is that my terms and conditions of employment remain absolutely unchanged, didn't have to do any substantial rewriting of contracts at all. I just have this agreement, which is a very mature agreement conversation between employer and employee about, you know, I'm going to give you something that's fantastic. In return, you need to give me the productivity.
Okay, so that sounds fair, but, you know, we all know that systems like this are open to abuse. And so you do need some kind of regulation, don't you? Because you seem like a kind employer, but somebody else would say, okay, you're not working on Fridays. That means your working day is not 8 to 9 Monday to Thursday. Your working hours are 8 till 8, Monday to
No. We are very clear here. This is 80% of the time. It's 4 normal working days. It's not 4 longer days. And that, again, is quite clear in the policies that we adopt for this. My sanction to make sure that nobody takes advantage of this is I have the right, if I don't get the productivity, to say to people, righto, back to working 5 days a week as per your contract. So the deal is really that because I'm giving you something that you can't put a price on, you know, that's time with your family, it's doing something for you, that's a very valuable. Right. And that's the motivator for the staff to go, you know what? You know, I want to have that. I'm going to do this because I want that day off a week. I want to walk my children to school. I want to spend an afternoon with my granddaughter. You know, it, that's why this works. We're giving people the gift of time.
And they have that responsibility to honour the time when they're at work and use it properly.
And not just theirs, but also their colleagues. Because remember, you know, you've got to recognise that if you waste the time of your colleague, they may lose their precious time as well.
Okay, so we've got a few comments coming through online, and Lungelo just says, Andrew for president. Nothing more to be said. Andrew needs to be president. Needs to be president. Hashtag 4 day week. Hashtag our show. Power talk. Let's talk about remuneration, because you say in terms of the contract, it stays the same. The terms stay the same. It's almost even the company's gift to the worker to have more time to do the things that they love in exchange for productivity and just using their time well in those 4 days. So we have a concept here. Let me not say it's sort of, it's across the board, but what employers like to do is say, if you've worked overtime, we are going to gift you time off as opposed to paying you more money. It's sort of something that employers like to do. So what does remuneration look like in the context of a 4 day working week where people are getting that extra time, putting in the maximum that they can? Does this nullify bonuses and incentives in any way at the end of the year?
No, but they remain absolutely unchanged. There is one difference, and that relates to working mums. Because quite often what happens when a working mum comes back, she negotiates an 80% contract. You know, I'm going to work 4 days a week and I get paid 80% of the amount. But they're often your most productive people because they've got great time management skills for the most part. So the only thing that we did is with our women who had negotiated those contracts is we put their salaries up to a normal 5 days so that they, we were reflecting in that, that they were working 4 days, they were giving us 5 days of output. And I think, you know, that's quite important because that is a thing that, that helps to narrow the gender pay gap, but it also, by encouraging people to be able to take time out, it actually means you've got more chance for guys to step out of the business and take on care responsibilities. And that's key if we're going to actually end up with a fairer, more equitable society.
Are there any sectors of the economy where it doesn't work? And I'm thinking here particularly about the political environment.
Well, I would like to say that I think if our politicians worked less, they might do less damage as far as we are concerned.
I'm inclined to support that idea.
But being a little bit facetious. No, look, I mean, I think the reality is what we're saying is find a way to do things better. Now, if you believe that in an industry and a you believe in an industry that there isn't a way to do things better, what you're saying is that you have reached the pinnacle of human achievement. And I refuse to believe that. And I think if you look across industries, across sectors, you see that we are able to find, and we have found ways, whether it be, you know, agriculture, retail, manufacturing, service industries, we found a way to do things better and we continue to do so. This just gives a different incentive to people to find a way to do things better.
So, Andrew, I'm not sure what you know of South Africa as a country, but just by way of a small profile, we are definitely the most advanced economy on the African continent, just by way of technology and services. But we are an economy that's declining in terms of scope and scale for a variety of reasons, domestically, competitiveness-wise. And many investors often complain that when they're invested in South Africa, you know, they've got the infrastructure to work with, but they don't have the commensurate skills. And not only do they not have the commensurate skills, but South African workers are highly politicized and they want highest wages for minimal input. And that's very, very tricky. So whatever you know about South Africa, do you think a four-day working week would be successful here? And would it help to address some of these issues around competitiveness, productivity, and bringing people into the market? Because there's also a huge unemployment issue in this country.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. The four-day week can be used in varying ways. In Russia, the idea to bring it in was because of unemployment. So that then the idea was that it would create additional jobs, because in some industries it will create additional jobs, albeit you'll be getting higher levels of productivity. But one of the great things about a four-day week is it then gives you more time to upskill and retrain yourself or your population. It gives you more time to do the things that we need to do to get a workforce fit for purpose for the 21st century. It gives you a big incentive to work better and therefore more productively. And actually, you know what? Money is a motivator, but it's not a big motivator or as big a motivator as actually having more time to do the things important to you. And that seems to be a consistent theme, especially amongst the young, that they don't want to do things the way that their parents did. Yeah. They want to find a better way. So I believe it can work. We are seeing companies trialing this on, you know, every continent and probably in every industry. So, you know, I think your biggest risk, frankly, is not doing a four-day week. Your biggest risk is your biggest competitor does it first.
Yeah, and they get it right. Andrew, we've just got one call coming through from Owen who'd like to ask you a question. Owen, hello.
Good morning, my sister. Look, I just want to factor in this issue of night economy. There's this intention of starting a night economy, of initiating night economy. So with the four-day work week, how is it going to affect all these things? Because if we say people are going to work at night, that also prolongs the hours. How, if we factor that in, how is it going to affect the whole scenario?
Okay, thanks so much. Andrew?
Well, look, you know, if you're working at night, it's the same issue. You just reduce the hours you're working at night. So one of the most successful experiments that I know of this is of an organization which looked to do this. And they found when they were reorganized how the night shift operated, they'd done all their work by Thursday. So that was all about repositioning it. It's not about when you work. It is the length of time that you work. And it doesn't matter whether you're working during the day, during the night, or even at weekends.
And also, as you said earlier on, the company itself stays open. It's the workers who are being given this change over of the hours in which. So a company can operate 24 hours. It will use different staff to work the different shifts of the business.
That's right. You think Volkswagen manufactures cars 7 days a week, 24/7. All it's done is change the shift patterns to accommodate, in the German case, a 28-hour week.
Wow, okay. Jerry, you've got a question?
Greetings. My question is that, can they look in the salaries of CEO? Because the majority of workers, actually, at the ground level, you find that they are giving more work and they are giving more strength to do the jobs in these companies, but they are getting paid less.
Okay.
So, and when you check the almost salaries and the profit is going to the CEOs. So can they regulate the CEOs?
Okay. And you? I think this is a completely different issue to a work week. But I think if I had to reframe it, Andrew, we've spoken about whether you get paid less or more. You said you get paid the same, incentives, etc. But does it impact the dynamic of executive pay versus worker pay?
Well, no, sadly it doesn't. I mean, I totally get what the call is talking about. There is a disproportionate, I mean, I'm a CEO, right? But I think there is a disproportionate allowance between how a CEO gets paid and how a worker gets paid. In a way, though, what we're doing is redressing the balance a little bit here, because we're actually saying, look, the company gets its output, what it's looking for. But because we've restructured how we work, in effect, your employee, each employee is getting a 20% pay rise, in effect, because they are working less time, but getting paid the same, the normal 5-day salary. So, you know, in a small way, it starts to redress the balance and gives better work-life balance to the employee, rather than it doesn't necessarily, the benefit doesn't necessarily come in a remunerative form, but in effect, you are getting a pay rise.
I see what you're saying, and that's an interesting perspective. But thank you so much. It's been an education. Andrew Barnes, founder of the 4-Day Week Global, speaking to us from New Zealand, one of the countries that has trialed the 4-Day Week alongside the UK, Spain, Japan, Iceland, and many Nordic countries. And what we're told is where it's been trialed, it's working really well. I mean, just to look at the figures from Japan, Japan used to have one of the most overworked population groups in the world, and out of 35 countries, it's ranked number 20 on productivity. So with this 4-day working week, they could push up those numbers substantially, and the Nordic countries always do really well on these indices, and it's because they create happy environments to live and to work.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.